Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. At Beth Emmanuel, we are proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click on the donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
We've been studying the core of the Master's teaching. And the core of the Master's teaching the message of the gospel, of course, yes, but the message of the gospel as expressed in the two greatest commandments: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So today we're going to continue and conclude with this topic. Well, conclude at least in terms of this string of teachings. So we've been learning that our Master foresaw the future. He could see that baseless hatred was the main sin, which was going to bring his generation to forfeit the kingdom, to forfeit the redemption, and go into exile, this current exile which persists even to this day. Therefore, he called upon his generation to repent. And by repent, he meant turn around, quit sinning. And by turn around, quit sinning, he meant love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love one another. So love is the center of the gospel message. You feel pretty good about this material? Do you feel like, oh, I think we got that by now? I hope so. I just keep repeating myself up here week after week. Yeah, right. And for the last several weeks, we've been focusing on you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which can be understood. It can be broken into two specific applications upon which all the commandments hang, all the one to another commandments hang. These two specific applications, a positive formulation and a negative formulation. The positive formulation is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And a negative formulation, that which is hateful to you, do not do to others. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And we call this basic empathy. The concept is empathy. Would I like it if someone did that to me? That's the question. Yeah. I need two bracelets now. On the one hand, what would Jesus do? On the other hand, would I like it if someone did that to me? Because that's essentially what Jesus said. Right? So we'd have what would Jesus do and what did Jesus say. But we've learned that the scope of this commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you know, our master was asked, and who exactly is my neighbor? And Yeshua answered with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he answered, he said, the one who shows compassion for his fellow human being acts as a neighbor. An enigmatic answer to a straight question. But nevertheless, the answer implies that your neighbor goes beyond what you would expect. Your neighbor isn't necessarily your next door neighbor, nor your fellow co-religionist or in your same ethnicity, but rather transcending these sorts of boundaries to encompass humanity. In other words, your fellow human being. Because if you greet only your brothers, I mean, think about it, what are you really doing more than others? How does that make you righteous? And, you know, even the idolaters do that. They greet their brothers. And if you love those who love you, whoopee, what are you doing more than others? Even the sinners and the secular people do that. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And if that's not enough, read the Didache where it says, fast for those who persecute you as well. Fast for your enemies, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. This is the teaching of Yeshua. And the amazing thing about this teaching, you know, it's still just a revolutionary teaching 2,000 years later. It's a revolutionary idea. It's so counterintuitive. The amazing thing about this teaching, of course, is its universal scope. It elevates all human beings. Suddenly, every human being is precious to you, as precious as your own life. Compassion for anyone who is in need. Compassion for all human suffering. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful teaching. This is the beautiful teaching of Yeshua of Nazareth. It's what sets him apart. But there's a danger in this universalism, that it obscures our loyalty and dedication to those closer to us. Think about it this way. If everything is holy, if everything is holy, then what's holy? Nothing is holy. If everything is holy, nothing is holy, because to be holy is to be set apart from everything else. So if everything is holy, by default, nothing is actually holy. Everything's the same. If every day is holy, there is no holy day. If you are to love everyone, then no one is especially beloved. Do you follow me? Because this is your default mode then, to love absolutely everyone without distinction. All right? On the contrary, what we read last week in the Didache, we found that there are distinctions in this love. It summed up the discussion of the Master's teaching with these words: do not hate any human being. So hate is right off the table. Don't hate any human being. And now we get three categories. But some you are to rebuke, some you are to pray for, yet some you are to love more than your own life. So there's this third category. Some you are to love more than your own life. Now, today, I want to distinguish between these different categories. And I'm going to make a distinction between love for your neighbor and love for one another. So to do this, I'd like to turn you to John, Yohanan, John chapter 13. Look at one more teaching of the Master on this subject. John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 34. He says, I am giving you a new mitzvah, a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. With this, all will know that you are my disciples, if love dwells among you. And if you turn ahead to the extended version of his last discourse, chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, it says, this is my mitzvah, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater than the love of one who gives his life on behalf of his companions. So this is what the Didache is referring to when it says, some you are to love more than your own life. And then if you look down to verse 17, again it says, I command you these things so that you will love one another. Now Yeshua speaks these words, our Master speaks these words to his disciples in the context of his farewell address at the last Seder, in his last hours with his disciples. And he bequeaths to them at this table the inheritance of the Messianic era. By the way, this is just point of information. If you want to understand this final discourse, John 13 to 17, One of the keys, one of the primary keys to understanding Yeshua's words in this John 13 through 17 is to realize that Yeshua is at the table, at this table, he is granting his disciples the messianic era. He is blessing them with the good things of the kingdom. And each of the, so we could go through and look at each of the discussions that come out this night. And we would see that each one of these is rooted in the expectation that he was going to deliver the kingdom to them. And so, in keeping with that, he gives this new commandment. You see, in the Messianic era, we already know, men will live peaceably with one another. Even the animals will dwell in peace. All humanity will live in a common fraternity. As the Messiah prepares to depart, he bequeaths his disciples the peace and the love and the brotherhood of the Messianic era. He gives them a new commandment. He says, "This is my commandment. I give you a new commandment that, if obeyed, would preserve the spirit of his presence among them. Love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Okay, so people raise an objection here. I have often encountered this objection. People say, "Wait a second, hold on there. How can Yeshua give a new commandment? Is the Torah insufficient? How can he add to the Torah? The Torah itself forbids adding or subtracting any mitzvahs. You can't have a new commandment. There's 613 commandments. Those are the commandments. You can't say, and here's 614. You can't do that. You don't add to the commandments. Moses says, "Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to, nor take away from it." So this is an objection I hear from time to time. People say, "How can Yeshua give a new commandment?" Well, the answer is this. The commandment wasn't really new, was it? Inasmuch as, it was new in that Yeshua bounded on his disciples, but the commandment was not, it's really a new approach to an existing commandment. The existing commandment is the one we've been studying for weeks that says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the mitzvah that he's working on. But he's making a hiddur on that mitzvah. He's beautifying that mitzvah. He's making a more beautiful form of that mitzvah. The commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Elsewhere, he teaches his disciples, this is the central command of Torah. He's already established this is a central command. All the commandments hang on this commandment. But this new commandment is an expansion. Rather than loving your neighbor, which Yeshua defined broadly, we already saw, as your fellow human being, as yourself, the new commandment refers to loving one another. So rather than going broad, now we're narrowing, bringing the scope down. He went broad, he went to all humanity. "You shall love everyone in the whole world as yourself." But the new commandment, working on a hiddur, an expansion of Leviticus 19:18, says, yet regarding one another, so we narrow it down to the one another level. Regarding one another, "You shall love one another, not as you love yourself, but as I have loved you," which is even more. Specifically, when he says one another, the new commandment refers to the brethren, that is, the other disciples of Yeshua. James to Peter to John to Andrew to Philip and so on and so forth through the disciples of our Master, the one another. But just on his and as a side, I'm just going to set that aside for one moment. This the brotherhood, the fraternity of the disciples. I want to talk about a different brotherhood and fraternity that would have been in view here, and that is. And we remember when we talk about these disciples already speak of one another as brother. I mean, before they were even disciples to each other. Before they were even following Yeshua as disciples, they were already brothers. Because all Israel, all the Jewish people, are brothers and sisters. One family, B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. So, on one level, this is also in view. That Yeshua was teaching Ahavat Yisrael, the love of the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And I believe that this is a solemn obligation for every disciple of Yeshua, that we must love the Jewish people. Not just the Jewish disciples of Yeshua, not just Messianic Jews, but all Jewish people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and He will love those who love the Jewish people. I believe this is an important part of the equation, something that's been missing, and in Messianic Judaism, we should be restoring it. Love for every Jewish person, simply on the basis, as it says in Romans, but they are beloved on account of the fathers, simply on the basis that He is a son or a daughter of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, the brothers and sisters of our Holy Master. If we say we love Jesus, but we do not love His people, we deceive ourselves. So, put that out here. Ahavat Yisrael, as an aside, on what does one another mean. More specifically, one another means love for our fellow disciple, our fellow follower of Yeshua. That's the focal point. And we don't play games with this to define it. To say, well, you're a brother, but you're not. And you're a sister, but you're not. Because we're not the boss of that. If someone says they're a follower of Yeshua, we accept it. So we share a common bond in our Master with every Christian. The theological divides and differences that we have with other Christians are real, and I don't believe they should be compromised. But love, the beautiful thing about love is just like love can transcend the barrier between a Samaritan and a Jew. You know, on the love your neighbor as yourself, love transcends denominations, love transcends divisions, love transcends theology. And because we walk in the truth, we can have confidence to love even those who disagree with us. Both the rest of the church and the rest of the Jewish people. Okay, so I believe that we should have these things in view when we say one another. But specifically, the concern is with our fellow disciples. The whole New Testament is filled with this admonition to love one another as the Master loved us. And the spirit of the Master's so-called new commandment, this new commandment, which isn't really a new commandment, it's a hidur, it's a beautification on an existing commandment. The spirit of the New Testament is permeated with this. Let me just run through a bunch of these verses with you. These are examples, these are samples. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So there's supposed to be, among believers, a competition at work. We are supposed to be in competition with each other, trying to outdo one another in showing one another honor. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. What is harmony? Harmony is when we are bringing complementary parts, but we're singing the same song. We're singing the same melody. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything, have no debt to anyone, if at all possible, except the debt to love each other. We're always to consider ourselves debtors to other disciples of Yeshua, that we owe other disciples of Yeshua something. Someone's a disciple of Yeshua, you owe them. You owe that person. What do you owe that person? You owe that person love. Romans 14:13, let us not pass judgment on one another, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. What's a stumbling block or a hindrance? It's something that causes a brother to sin, that directs a brother into sin. Romans 15:7, welcome one another. That is, receive one another as Messiah has welcomed you. 1 Corinthians 11:33, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. Serving one another. Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't do this. Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. What does it mean to bear with one another? That means put up with one another. Tolerate one another. Put up with one another in love. That means putting up with the annoying one another even. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted to one another. Forgiving one another. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. So you don't repay anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. 1 Peter 1:22, love one another earnestly. From a pure heart. That means sincerely, not fakely. Fakely. I made that up. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ah, that's the hard part. Without grumbling. I had a friend once who came to my Bible studies. He'd always bring this other guy with him. He'd always give this other guy a ride. And he'd come to my Bible studies, and the other guy really irritated me. So one time I says to this friend of mine who's driving this other guy, I says, that's a big mitzvah. you pick this guy up and bring him. And what I meant by big mitzvah is like, whew, that's a big mitzvah, because I wouldn't be able to stand a ride in a car with that guy. But I didn't say that part. I just said, that's a big mitzvah. and this friend of mine says, yeah, but I don't get any credit for it because I grumble about it all the time. Yeah. So this is what Paul says. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, if you're going to do the mitzvah, do it with the right heart and do it with the right attitude. As each has received the gift, as Hashem has gifted you with something, whether, you know, some quality, some attribute, some wealth, some ability to show hospitality, however, it says each has received a gift. Use it for what? To serve one another. You know, there's a theme going on here, isn't there? There's one another, one another, one another. We could do this all day long through the New Testament. You would think, coming from evangelicalism, that all of these verses would be directed towards those outside the community. That it should be all outreach, 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 outreach. But the New Testament is concerned primarily with the way that the disciples of Yeshua treat one another. It's an amazing insight. Now, as though I were writing you a new commandment. Not as though I were writing you a new commandment, John says. But the same commandment we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. So these are just a few examples. Yes, we are obligated to love our neighbors. And by this we mean all men and women, our neighbors on planet Earth, the sons and daughters of Eden. But this is a different character of love, a different quality of love. Just as the love that you share with your close family members is different than those that you share with those outside of your family, the love that we share with one another as disciples is different than the love we share with the neighbor. There is a gradation, even in the circles the commandment to love. So love for neighbor then, in its broad application, as your fellow human being, regardless of their faith, regardless of their religion. Love your fellow, those outside the community, the rest of the world, men and women made in God's image, whether they are secular or religious or whatever, even our enemies. On the other hand, love one another. The messianic love, the love of the messianic era, which our master bequeathed to his disciples, starts with one another. Ahavat Yisrael, the love for the Jewish people, and Ahavat Talmidei Yeshua, the love for the disciples of Yeshua. Leviticus 19:18 calls on us to love our fellow man as ourselves. Rather than loving as yourself, the new commandment calls upon the disciple of Yeshua to love his fellow as the master loved him. In other words, sacrificially, Yeshua demonstrated his love for his disciples in service by setting aside his prestige. He took on the role of a servant, washed their feet, and offered his life in exchange for theirs. This type of love does not swim in sentimentality, nor does it demand internal emotional affection. It calls instead for simple service, humility, deference, and self-sacrifice. This is my commandment, he says, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Rabbi Lichtenstein explains it's not a new commandment. He says, by this it is a new commandment. For Moses only said, love your neighbor as yourself, and not more than this. Rabbi Akiva, therefore, ruled in the Talmud, your life has precedence over your friend's life. So you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but not more than yourself. Akiva says, this means that if it came to saving your life or your friend's life, your life takes precedence. But in the view of the master, Lichtenstein says, as shown in his deeds, the life of your friend, of your other, of one another, the life of your friend takes precedence. As Paul said in Romans 5:7, even for a righteous person, it is difficult to die for someone. Yeshua called upon his disciples to love one another sacrificially as he loved them, impartially. And he desired his disciples to distinguish themselves from all the other schools of discipleship and all the other movements of Judaism and all the other sects of the Jewish people, to distinguish themselves by the profound and unshakable love for one another within the assembly. By this all men will know, he said, that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Levertov comes and he considers this to be the defining mark. He writes, love was the essential, characteristic keynote of the Messianic fellowship. The Messiah is the personification of divine love. Therefore, to imitate him means to love as he did. Christ's love is not only an example for the fellowship, but is the power which awakens love in it. His love is powerful because it is God's love. The new commandment made a strong impression on young John, the son of Zebedee, as he reclined next to the master. More than half a century after that Seder, he was still thinking about it. And he said, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And he reminded his readers, love one another as he commanded us. And at the end of his life, he was still saying, little children, love one another. If it is done, it is enough. The commandment to love God, to love our fellow, to love one another, these commandments were meant as an antidote to the coming exile, to the darkness that was coming, to the darkness that Yeshua foresaw, that he tried to prevent, the antidote to baseless hatred, which brought the destruction of the temple and the exile of the generation and the fall of Jerusalem. This means that these commandments of love are our chief avenue, the main weapons in our arsenal, the chief weapons we have, the main road to bring us into the kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom, and to build the kingdom on earth, and to bring an end to the current exile, to bring an end to the kingdom of Satan, and build the kingdom of God. This is the key to the redemption, the keys to Messianic Jerusalem. Love for God, love for your neighbor, love for one another. Now, may the love of God inhabit us, and may we be filled with the love of God. love for your fellow human being, love for the Jewish people, love for one another.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.